Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ dhammaṃ saṅghaṃ namassāmi. So as a lot of the great forest teachers then would say that there are two ways to operate in life. One of these is through desire, through liking and disliking, and the other one is through mindfulness. These two are different ways in which the mind operates, and some ways they don't have a lot to do with each other. You know, when mindfulness is established, then you're not operating in the same way according to our likes and dislikes. We're operating according to mindfulness. When mindfulness is not present, then we can be lost in our liking and disliking. It's the same. It's a bit like they would say that path is a battle sometimes between karma and dharma, between our habits and our wisdom or truth or mindfulness. So one aspect of this I'd like to bring to your attention, which is a use of convention or culture, wise culture. So in Asia then, Buddhist culture, then a lot of the mindfulness is done for you, in the sense that living in a Buddhist culture, cultural norms, cultural values, and then it can determine an enormous amount of what goes on, far more than in a Western culture. And so Westerners often will not understand this. They'll see Asian culture as somehow oppressive or dictatorial. You know, the great Western values of freedom, and independence and freedom. And yet if it's a wise culture, a beautiful culture, and then the culture can set boundaries for us and show us what a beautiful way of acting is. So in Asia still there's going to be a very beautiful culture operating with respect for elders and beautiful etiquette in many ways of life where the way people are operating is according to principle and according to desire. So people may want to do something, act in a certain way, do this or that, and yet the culture is to some degree putting boundaries on that. You know, that one has one's duties to one's parents or to one's teachers or to, and the West tends to see this very negatively, that it's a thing of duty. But it can be very beautiful, actually. You know, one example I rather like in Thailand, one of the forest masters saying that the dentist, their duty to the patient is to provide the best care they can. Their duty to the patient is to accept whatever care they're offered. Yeah, to me, that's a very beautiful thing, very beautiful intention of both sides. In England we would see one, or two, yes, it's the duty of the doctor or to the hospital to provide the very best care that they possibly can. And that's exactly the same, isn't it? There's no difference in that whatsoever. But it's the duty of the patient to accept whatever care they are offered. That's very beautiful, isn't it? Isn't it? Two-way thing. Mutual respect. sense of mutual respect. So one of those depends on the other. If the hospital offers the best possible care they can, then it is the duty of the person to accept that as the best. So it says a lot about the culture, that kind of thing. Also, if there's no Buddhist culture like that, then example, these game shows, the sort of game shows and devised in the West that humiliate or make fools out of people, and they just didn't happen in Thailand. They're considered unpleasant thing to make a fool out of somebody, or for people there to be winners or losers. Even Thai game shows, everybody wins. Attitudes towards sexuality. I mean, this is a very interesting one in Thailand. If a man is gay, then he's considered to be a male body with a female heart. So he's called she. And we call that person he, wouldn't we? We'd be sexing that person according to the sex of the body. Yet in Thailand, they would address that person as she, calling that person according to the perceived sex of the mind. That a gay man is a woman's mind in a man's body. It's this kind of perception that leads to a very liberal attitude towards sexuality in Thailand. These kind of conventions, then, if they become trusted over many years, then people delight in them. Of course, if they become abused, if a convention like that became abused, then people would revolt, rebel against it. But this is the mark of a skillful convention, is that people will be happy to follow it, feel safe following it. This is what you see in a skillful society, children who are happy to wear exactly the same uniform and to join in with the group and do everything the same, feel safe and not have to think too much. They're not so burdened by life, because so much is already determined. Just relax into it, relax into the convention. Then there's also, freedom for people's personal expression within that, within those boundaries, and even more so. So often Western culture, if we shoot ourselves in the foot, we have these great high ideals, everyone should be able to do exactly what they want. Then we realise, oh well, but wait a minute, some of those things wouldn't be good for other people, so we have to make rules against those, and round we go in circles. Rather than starting off with a situation where there are more sophisticated system of societal values and societal etiquette. So in the West, then, we can develop these conventions for ourselves within a group, people, particularly a group of Dhamma farers, develop a convention that covers what we're doing. The degree to which we develop skillful conventions, the degree to which we can be happy and life will be harmonious with each other, and there'll be less stress, because we won't be having to keep thinking about it, keep reinventing the wheel. So I'd really encourage you, as a group of practitioners, then, to look at these kinds of conventions, it's a rota for the tea making, or whatever it is. This is all the development of skillful convention to help the smooth wheels. And then there'll be times when we can see quite clearly how the less wholesome aspects of our own minds will bulk against these skillful conventions. Or maybe the wholesome part of our mind might bulk against an unskillful convention if we're not clever enough, or we're not clear enough to create a skillful convention, we create an unskillful one. And then of course we would have to reverse the process. But over time, this is what we can create for ourselves, a field of merit, a field of skillful convention. And this is what a tradition can become over tens or hundreds of years. It can become a skillful convention that can help us to live our lives in lightly, but also in a skillful way.